This morning, we're going to continue our series. As a matter of fact, we're ending our series this morning on the supernatural. Over the course of the last 5 weeks, six, including this one, we've talked about certain aspects of the supernatural. We've talked about how there's the supernatural, and then there's the physical. There's the invisible and the visible, and they're not exclusive. They meet together. And we talked about how if you were to unveil it, the invisible, we'd see a whole lot of stuff going on in there. We'd see angels roaming around us. We'd see the temptations of the evil one, demons and Satan. They would be hovering as well. We'd see the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives too. We'd see miracles and call them for what they were, miracles. And we've seen all that over the course of the last couple of weeks. Today, our final message of the series, I want to talk about supernatural power. Supernatural power. As I was preparing for this message, I came across, Castaway, the movie. I don't know if you've seen it before. It's Tom Hanks. He's flying in this FedEx jumbo plane, and in the process, something happens, and it ends up in the island. And he ends up there in this island for 5 years, just trying to survive in this island for 5 years. And during these 5 years, he's got a package that he doesn't unwrap. And so in a Super Bowl years later, FedEx, the company, decided to do a spoof on the movie. And I'm going to show you, if you would have known what was in that package, you know, all the essentials of life just in there in that package. Well, guess what? It's the same thing with us. You have power that's in you, supernatural power. And for many of us, that power is unutilized. It's in a little package that we call our body, and we're like, we're not even using it. We're not even using it. We're like the FedEx commercial. So this morning, I want to talk about this supernatural power. We're going to discover that where it comes from, what's it for, and then how do we get started? How do we get started with it? So where does it come from, the supernatural power that you and I, all of us here have? It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where that supernatural power comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to show you that. Go to Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. And as you get there, kudos to Tracy, who on the fly, just, man, that was awesome. I'm just trying to keep him awake. That's the main purpose of that. Luke 24, 49. And let's see what it says here. It says, I am going to send you, the disciples, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Now, earlier in a different sermon in the series, you talked about that the promise was the promise of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, i.e. the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you, that's important, you, us, have been clothed with power from on high. So early on, Jesus tells the disciples, hey, you're going to receive something, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is going to bring something for your benefit and for God's glory, and it's going to be power. It's going to be clothed. Now, the interesting thing is that it uses clothed. You know, you have to put clothes on, we hope. You put clothes on, you shelter with it. It protects you from the elements. And the same thing, there's this Holy Spirit, and we have to do something. We have to appropriate that power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just that it's in us with power, but we will have to use that. And it's going to be not just for our benefit, but it's going to be for the benefit of the nations, of the nations. I want you to, in that same slide earlier, Jesus had been talking about, he had opened their minds, and in verse 46, he said, he told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit and being clothed with power. So this Holy Spirit is not just for your sake. It's not just for your sake. It's for the sake of the nations. And it's so that you can witness about Christ. And so that you and me, us, can witness about Christ. I want you to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is Jesus again talking to his disciples. He says, but you will receive, say it with me, power. Say it with me again, power. Let's say it with power. Power. There we go. But you will receive power. The Greek word there is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. And it's the power to destroy. That's what it's, the essence of the word power there, is the power to destroy. You're going to receive power, the power to destroy. It's not going to say it here, but we know from other parts of Scripture that what we're destroying is strongholds. What we're destroying is the blinders that the evil one has cascaded upon humanity. That's what we destroy. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he gives an outline, and we're going to see that's the outline of the book of Acts, but he gives this outline. He says, you're going to receive power, and this power is going to start in Jerusalem, where you live. And then it's going to move out to Judea, your surrounding areas. And then it's going to move to Samaria, your ethnic differences. It's going to be diversity. And then to the ends of the earth. And folks, that's what we're doing. That's our whole goal here at this church, is to reach every man, woman, and child. And to reach it, not only in Jerusalem, Gonzales, or Judea, across our area in Austin, the Austin area, not just in Samaria, through ethnic divides, whether it's Hispanic community, or the African-American community, or the Anglo community, or the Asian community, the 0.2% Asian here in Gonzales. We cross borders, that's in Samaria, but also global. It's also global. And no better way for us to do that than the Great Adventure. We just participated on that this last week. We have backyard Bible clubs in our neighborhoods. We headed across racial lines. Austin, Hill Country Austin, our mother church and our sister churches, we're doing it across Greater Austin. We send some missionaries across the globe, all these things participating in the great, what we call the Great Commission, or reaching the very mission of God. And the mission in the heart of God is that people would be reached for Christ. That's his heart's desire, that every man, woman, and child, no matter how rich, poor, or middle class they are, no matter what skin tone they are, no matter what age group they are, that every man, woman, and child will be reached. That they would be reached with a message of relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of sin. And so it starts off with, but you will receive power. It's interesting because when we look at that word, we think, I just don't see the power of God demonstrated in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and that's you. You're like, I just don't see the power of God. And I want to suggest to you that part of the reason is because we approach the power of God like this. You know, we get a little glove, and we're like, man, I want Holy Spirit power to reach my neighbors and my city and the world around me. And so we go about just kind of punching away. You know, we got this little power, you know. We feel like, okay, I know I got power, but oftentimes this is the extent of our power, right? Just a little glove. When in reality, our extent should be far greater than that, far greater than that. No, I'm not going to punch anybody over here. But I do want to show you something, that our real power, it's like this. It's not like this. It's a Holy Spirit power, and it has the power to just knock just about anybody. Right? You bring this into the equation, you've just changed the game. And yet the Church of Jesus Christ goes about spirituality this way, goes about reaching people this way, with this kind of power. And all the while, God is saying, you knucklehead, this is what you need. This is what you need to appropriate in your life. And it's not just to reach people for Christ, but it's also to have impact in your own life. It's interesting. This year we integrated boxing ring, right? And it was awesome, especially because I got to go in there twice. The first time I got to go in there, it was cool. I won. I mean, sure, he was 12, but I still won. I felt like a big boy. I was like, yeah, you know? And then the second time, it wasn't a 12-year-old. It was, I think, 17-year-old. And for every punch I hit him with, he hit me with 3. All of a sudden, it wasn't fun anymore, you know, at all, actually. But he had the great equalizer. He had this, right? The 12-year-old had this, too, and that's why he was able to survive under my great, you know, strength. So my question to you this morning is, what power are you using? Are you resting on the supernatural power of God in your life to impact the world around you? Because he's called you to impact the world around you. Or are you using your own power just about this size? As long as you continue to use this power right here, Satan is all good with you. When you start using this bad boy right here, it's no longer you doing it. How can it be? This thing's my size. How can it be? It can't. There's power in the Holy Spirit. May never be said of Two Rivers Bible Church that we rest in ourselves versus the Holy Spirit in impacting the world around us. Jesus put it this way. He said in John chapter 15, verse 26, he said, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. You know, the work of introducing people to Jesus Christ is non-optional. It's not an option. He says he will testify about me, and you also must testify. I find it quite convicting when I read it because I don't always do that. Does your neighbor even know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Not that you go to church. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking, does your neighbor know that you're a TRBC person? What I'm asking is, does your neighbor even know? Could a neighbor just looking at your life be able to say, this guy or this girl's got something different? What you got, man? What does your marriage have that mine doesn't? What does your work habits have that mine don't? Can our life testify about him? We have a command, folks. A command. And we have the power to fulfill that command. God never gives you a command that he doesn't intend to supplement with his power. Never gives you a command that he doesn't help you with. So where do we start? A couple quick facts to start off with. And the first thing is this. Look, pray, and listen for open doors. Look, pray, and listen for open doors. I want to take you to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So an angel of God goes to Philip, and he tells Philip, go that direction. And that's the only instruction that he gets at this point. He's going to get another piece of instruction, but that's it for now. So what does he do? So he started out. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So the angel of God doesn't tell him that he's going to meet someone. He just says, go that way. And in the process of going, he's not even there yet. He's going to this place that the angel said to go to. The assumption for some people would be that when you get there, you're going to have something to do. But he doesn't do that. This Philip, he's on his way. And along the way, He's going to see an open door. Along the way, he's looking. He's listening. Let's see what he sees. So it's the Ethiopian. And it says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to pray. So he sees this Ethiopian guy, and he's a well-to-do person. He's a treasury, which is pretty high up in the administration of that kingdom. And he sees this person, and he's coming from worship. He doesn't assume that just because he came from worship, that somehow he knows the Lord. I find that interesting. That just because people that you know may be religious, it doesn't mean they know the Lord. Verse 28. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, the second instruction, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. That's about as much as the Spirit of God gives instruction to him. Right? Just get near the chariot. The assumption here is that Philip is looking, he's listening, and he's praying. Verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Now his response is going to be the eunuch, no, I, how can I know if nobody explains it to me? And then Philip begins to explain what that passage meant. And along the way, he puts his faith in Jesus Christ and gets baptized. But don't miss that Philip was listening, he was praying, he was open for opportunity. Who's in your world today? That's the eunuch. Who's in your world today that they're just asking questions? They're just, you know, that God has put you aside their chariot to listen to their life story so that you can share your life story, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he sent you. He sent you to where you work. He sent you to your neighborhood. He sent you to your kids' functions. He sent you, brought you together in your marriage. He sent you to your in-laws. You're like, oh boy, was it him? Yeah, it was him. He sent you there. Sent you for a reason. And the reason wasn't just to be friendly. It wasn't just to be the friendliest cat in town. It was to testify about who Jesus is. That's the reason. You have a mission. You have a mission. All of us do. Are you fulfilling your mission? Are you praying, God, open a door? God, I'm listening. There's nothing like Spirit-motivated interaction for Jesus. I'm not saying this morning that you use a little formula. What I'm saying is, just be open for God's Spirit to prompt you, to nudge you. Start with that. God, move my heart for what moves yours. Start with that every morning. God, move my heart for what moves your heart. And during the day, allow him to move your heart to share. To talk about how Christ has impacted your marriage, your kids, your addictions, your very life. Just Spirit prompting movements of God in your life will have this kind of power. This is the kind of power that that'll have. I don't know about you folks. I don't want to live life in a boring way where I just do life just, you know, whatever comes naturally, you know, where I'm just try and engage people with my own strength. I want to live an exciting life, don't you? Don't you want to live an exciting life where you're just depending on God no matter what or who he prompts you to talk to? I mean, truth be told, that's the kind of life that I want to live. That's the kind of life that disciples lived, and yet we don't oftentimes. Number two, second fact, is people need answers, not arguments. People need answers, not arguments. Notice what Peter said. You know, Peter, by the way, the Peter who always lost it and was always quick to the punch, you know, He said this, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Another way of saying that is, allow God to move in your spirit to lead you. Always be prepared to give an answer. Not a debate, not a fight, but an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So he says, be ready to give an account of what you believe. When somebody asks, be ready. Guess what? If you're living by being led by the Spirit, people are going to ask you. If you're living a life that is extraordinarily different from this world, people are going to ask you. But he does say, good behavior in Christ. I mean, you can't, be all out dancing on tables, partying, and, just all wild in the weekend and expect somehow people to overlook that and tell you, man, what's so different about you? Like, other than dancing on tables, like, what's, it's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. I don't say that because I've seen you dancing on tables, and hopefully you're not like, man, he's talking about me. He saw Facebook. Yeah, that's not what I'm, And if you feel convicted, hey, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not me. I don't have anybody in mind right now, So you're like, who told them? You're with your wife. Like, did you tell him, How does he know? That's the Holy Spirit working there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So he prays, open doors. Like, pray that God opens doors, and that I'm able to share it clearly. And they make the most out of every opportunity. That would be our prayer, folks. This city, that was our prayer, every one of us. And we would have the willingness, this city would be just radically transformed just by one church. What if every church in this city had a similar prayer? God, use me. May I communicate it clearly. May I live in a way that is radically different. Radical devotion to Christ. Instead of this city being 85% unchurched, it would be 85% churched. And yet we have not, because we live not in that way. And we ask not. We don't pray for that. Number three, not everyone will receive your words. Not everyone will receive your words. Acts chapter 13, verse 49, it says, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So there's this persecution. Not everybody receives it. And yet their response is, like, moving on. That's okay. We're going to move on. And they rejoiced. And they were filled with joy. With us, if we share with someone, and we share, man, let me share about Jesus Christ and what he's doing in my life. If that person gives us the stiff arm, what's our reaction? It's not like, yeah, man, I got to share it. It's like, oh, do you like me? You don't like me anymore? Like, I don't want to be unliked. Yeah, the disciples didn't care about whether they were liked or not. They cared about getting the word out about this relationship with the Father through Christ. Number four, on average, it takes six people to make a difference. On average, it takes six people to make a difference. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to verse 5. There's an argument here, and it's an argument about who's following who. Are people following Apollos, or are they following Paul? And this is what Paul says. He says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So what Paul is saying is like, hey, listen, some people water, some people bring out the harvest. It's the same thing. The person, your child, your neighbor, your parents, you may just be a piece of the puzzle. You have a purpose in that relationship, but you might just be the little piece in there. Somebody else might be the one that really gets to get deep into the weeds and begin to share with them who Christ is and what Christ ought to be in our lives. Like, every one of us has a function and a purpose, and it might be different. It might be different. Oftentimes in my own life, I very seldom get to see somebody come to Christ because of me, at least on a personal level. But I understand that I'm just putting the seed. Somebody else might be the one that brings it out. And number five, remember, salvation is God's, not yours. Remember, salvation is God's, not yours. I want you to go to John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, no one can come to me unless, say it with me, unless, say it with me again, unless the Father who sent me draws him. Like, unless is really important in this passage, isn't it? Like, another way of saying it is this. You can't convince anybody about who Jesus is and what he can do in their life. You can't convince anybody. So stop trying to convince. Stop trying to control. Stop trying to manipulate. Because you can't do it. Because here it says, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 65, he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. This, another way of saying it is this way. Your job is to present Christ clearly. His job is to draw and enable the person to believe. If after sharing, the person doesn't believe, it's not your fault. It was never yours to do to begin with. It's God. God has a burden of leading someone to himself or not. He carries that burden, not you or me. Early on in my, when I put my faith in Christ back in 98, February 9th, 1988, that's when I did that. I invited Christ into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. And when I did that, the guy who led me to Christ, who introduced me to Christ, he plugged me into a ministry in campus at Texas State. And we shared the gospel, the news of a relationship with the Father through Christ because of the forgiveness of sin, to some inmates in the prison system. And I still remember it real clearly. You know, we had just been sharing. People had were inviting Christ into their life. And as we did that, we were behind the, during chapel, we were in the last row. And if we were in the last row, somebody, the guy who was leading me and discipling me, he said this. He said, you know, Jesse, if we weren't here, they wouldn't have come to Christ. And I looked at him and I said, no. Like, that's a heavy burden for me. Like, I was like, no way. There will not be a single soul that will be lost because of me. So pressure is off. But guess what? Not a single soul will be won without you either. Not a single soul will be lost on account of you, but not a single soul will be won if you don't show up. You know why? Because God has rested the salvation of humanity on us sharing. So we got to share. I'm going to show you this morning a little glimpse of seeing God's power at work last week. You know, I don't think I can overemphasize how big great adventure is for us. And so this morning I'm going to show you what God did last week. Not what we did. We just participated. We just joined God where he was working. And this was the result. So I'm going to show you a clip this morning. We'll be right back. Temptation. He wants you to be a warrior that says yes when the world says no, or to say no when the world says yes. He wants you to be a warrior to stand up for right in the culture of wrong. He wants you to be a warrior and live for Him, live for more, live for the King. And that's what He wants.
We're giving it up.
Cause I don't wanna live like I don't care.
Isn't that awesome? That was all packed into a week. And that's just a glimpse. We just got to see a glimpse of what God can do when we participate together to reach every man, woman, and child in Gonzales County. But what if we also did it individually? Not just corporately, but individually. We would see powerful impact, wouldn't we? We'd see this. We'd see right this, right here. Let me pray as Scott comes up for our offering this morning.